As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Paul Sweeney. Join us each day for insight from the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. You can also watch the show live on YouTube. Visit the Bloomberg Podcast channel on YouTube to see the show weekday mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern from our global headquarters in New York City. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen. And always on Bloomberg Radio, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App.
Hey, we saw it 4 or 5 days ago. Taiwan Semiconductor came out with a tease, and they delivered today. And actually, I read every single word of it. I thought it was just, you know, within the gloom that's out there, it's like what Gino Martin Adams is saying. Yep. I'm sorry, business is getting done.
Business is getting done. And on the chip side, I mean, that is the way to play, at least initially, yeah. Tom, the AI play. So people focusing on the chips.
We start strong today. We hate her. Amanda Lynam with us, with BlackRock. Nice to see her. She shows up with a 40-page deck.
I know. I'm looking at it.
Okay. And she looks at it. She's got that evil eye. If Tom, if you don't at least get to page 35, I'm not talking to you. On your 40-page deck, the one chart that I really like, Amanda Lynam, this is on the linkage here of interest rates into equities, bonds, currencies, commodities. You talk about dispersion. What's dispersion, and why should our audience care about it?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me.
Page 32.
Dispersion is really that things are really happening under the surface despite what may seem to be optical, low vol, tight spread levels, which is a complaint that we hear a lot from market observers. Under the surface, even though, for example, high yield spreads are optically tight, there are participating parts like high quality, low duration sectors of the market, and then there are areas that are lagging, like triple. So C is low quality.
If Ed Hyman comes in yesterday and says his number one issue is BAA spreads show nirvana, you're suggesting underneath
there's actually more to the story, and
what's
it's not
the story? Well, tell us what
not a rising tide lifts all boats. I think if I were to distill it down, Tom, it would say the market is efficient in that it's recognizing that there are some companies that were kept afloat by a super low rate environment, and they will not be able to manage through a high for longer cost of capital environment, something that we've been discussing for a while. I think you also see it just broadly. There's a lot of talk of monetary policy is restrictive. Yes, that's true in certain parts of credit, certain parts of commercial real estate, for example. But in general, the economy has been quite resilient. And actually, we're seeing that bifurcation play out through credit.
I mean, I keep telling Tom he's got to take more credit risk, but he says he can sit there in a two-year treasury, 4.92%.
Yeah.
That's not a bad trade.
So actually, we think there's a tactical case for allocating to floating rate credit, short duration credit, to really pick up on that carry and income component. So I would agree with that. I think given the signaling that we've had from central banks, what we're seeing is that we're not expecting rate cuts in the early part of the second half. We had previously been guiding to cuts coming in the second half with risk skewed earlier. We no longer see that. I think
really?
The risks are more balanced. And then similarly, if you expect this kind of transatlantic divergence where it looks like the ECB is poised to cut in June, the Fed will stay on hold. It does lend itself to a tactical allocation to floating rate credit.
Is there a scenario when you guys at BlackRock think that maybe they don't cut in 2024?
I don't think we can rule it out.
Okay.
I think the signaling from the chair, the vice chair, New York Fed President Williams, all even in the past few days, has shown us that this is going to take longer than expected. I do think It is important that they get cuts started in 2024, not because a 25 or 50 basis point reduction in rates is game changing for the LevFin market, but rather I think uncertainty around monetary policy is not something that the credit market needs right now. And so if they do not cut and we start to talk more about the potential for hikes, I think that's problematic for risk sentiment.
INGO, that's the Bloomberg Index browser. When I look at the fixed income space, I got all red this year, even the high yield, which had been a pretty good performer. What do I do here? I mean, how do I make money in fixed income these days?
The one part of credit that is positive is leverage loans.
Okay.
Because of the floating rate. So, again, it goes back to that point that if you're thinking about tactical asset allocation, one of the areas that actually we think is supported in this environment is floating rate exposures. You could do that a bunch of different ways, right? You could do that in the IG market, leverage loans, right. CLOs, private debt even. And I think that, to your point, that's exactly where that dispersion comes in, Tom, within credit. It's not all created equal.
Our audience is not going to go out. They're not on the phone at 9 a.m. going, geez, I think I need a leveraged loan. In the real world of people who are saying, I'm not going to play in the market, I'm not buying NVIDIA, blah, blah, blah. They're saying, I want the comfort of a coupon and maybe I'll make a total return. I'm looking at the logarithmic Bloomberg total return chart, the Lehman Index. From, you know, I'm thrilled that, you know, Mike Bloomberg and Tom Secunda stepped up to give us this wonderful, wonderful index. I'm eyeballing it, folks. At the minimum, I need a 10% gain to get back to trend on that index after the carnage of the last 3 years. When do we get that good feeling back in your world?
I think banking on a rally in long end rates is not something that's in our base case at the moment for a host of reasons, including the deficit.
So where do you choose duration then if you've got that weight?
Yeah, so I think towards the front end belly of the curve is probably where you want to be. The curve is still inverted, right? Yep. So you are picking up that extra income and carry by tilting more towards the front and belly as opposed to the long end. The one point, Tom, that I think is really important for our listeners to think about as well is that the all-in yield component right now is screening very attractive historically, even while spreads are tight.
When you say near the belly, Lisa's got to apply some money. She saved some money at Costco last weekend. She's looking 3 year or 5 year.
Yes. So I would say anywhere between 3 and 7 is where we would want to focus. But from the perspective of all in yields, deploying capital now, we see a pretty attractive opportunity to do so. But you're right, Tom, the past 2 years have not been favorable for long end duration.
If I want to take some credit risk, are there certain sectors you guys like?
So I do think as we're thinking about the potential for geopolitical risks to escalate, sector and issuer selection will be really important. So on the sector side, are you a commodity purchaser or are you a commodity producer? Commodity producers are likely to fare better in this environment to the extent that we get commodity disruptions.
Right.
And we still like financials. And then I would also say on the issuer side, pay really close attention to supply chain resilience, balance sheet resilience.
Okay.
Can you navigate a high for longer?
Asking for a friend on issuance.
Yes.
We're in a quiet period. I get that. Maybe you can't even answer this question. Are we going to get big tech issue bonds? They've got an absurdly low bond component. Are they going to get religion in this cycle, this dispersion that we're in now, and issue mega gajillions of fixed income debt?
So a couple things. One is we are in a quiet period, but it's picking up a little bit with financials. I think in general, IG corporates are in a unique position, specifically cash-rich sectors like tech and pharma, where they can issue, actually earn a pretty good interest income and that is above and beyond the cost of debt in many instances. And so I think to the extent you expect M&A to pick up, shareholder returns, general corporate purposes, yes, we do expect that.
That's in the deck.
Can you bring a 60-page deck next time? Please, I'm begging.
I'll give you the summary anytime, Tom. You don't have to read the whole
thing. No, I like the 60. I don't need the executive summary. I want the Lineham 60-page deck. Amanda Lineham of BlackRock, just always fabulous. Futures up 12.
Nobody ever says make it complicated. That is why Nationwide makes simplicity a priority by providing financial professionals with straightforward, client-ready resources. From clear strategies to help clients meet retirement savings and income needs, to ways to cover rising healthcare costs and more, Nationwide simplifies planning so more time can be spent helping clients. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card.
you can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the conversation of the day, folks, for Global Wall Street on the Greek letters. Here's what it comes down to. You go to your statistics class and you get the central limit theorem done. And then you sit there and the eyes start to glaze over when they get to the cross moments, including kurtosis. I've got some on my left foot. And then you get to where the dynamics of the Greek letters click in, like alpha, beta, gamma, delta, 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 delta. Amy Will Silverman understands this stuff and joins us this morning with RBC Capital Markets. Amy, I love this comment. Everybody is so long, they've got more to hedge. How are we protecting, insuring ourselves after the second leg of this mother of all bull markets?
Yeah, you know, Tom, good morning. I think this is what it comes down to. Everyone's been asking me, look, what's different now? Why is your favorite word skew picking up? Why are folks looking at hedges? Why is VIX spiking? And I think it's really that simple. Folks are more long, right? They spent all this year chasing upside, chasing that right tail, getting their FOMO and MOMO on. And here we are. I think there's just simply more to hedge right now.
It's more to hedge right now, but what's a right tail look like? I know we've got left tail, Paul. Left tail's that angst out there.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's like, it's like the tension. All of a sudden, the left tail's starting to move. How do you protect against that?
Yeah, so I'd say two things. First, you know, the right tail is definitely not gone. It's just waned. So the exuberance is still there. You look at a stock like Nvidia, where that right tail was just so historic. You really, like in the whole history of Nvidia, had never seen anything like it, that bid for call options. That's peaked in March, but it's still there. There's still call demand outweighing put demand. It's actually just this idea that the left tail's waking up. You know, we've had geopolitical tensions before. We've had Middle East tensions before. We've had sticky CPI before. Why is it different now? The fact that the left tail is waking up, I think, just speaks to a global worry that's picking up as well.
So, Amy, if I'm one of those folks that says, boy, this S&P, it's rallied 25% off those October lows. I haven't seen earnings move, you know, to a similar level. So I'm concerned about valuation and I want to hedge here. Is it expensive for me to hedge this market right now?
It really isn't. And, you know, I will tell you, this is a conversation that for the whole first part of this year, no one wanted to talk to me about. And those conversations are picking up. So you do have those folks who are saying, you know, valuations look a little full. I'm a little concerned about earnings season. Can we hedge? I will tell you, hedging still looks historically pretty cheap. You know, it's gone up this year, but when you look back 5 years, 10 years, it's still at historically pretty low levels because, again, people haven't been focused on it. They've been focused on that right tail. But actually, the cost of protection in your portfolio is really quite attractive still.
What do you tell people that are, I guess, maybe call you and say, hey, what is this Federal Reserve going to do? I just have no sense here. The data comes in pretty strong, the economy looks pretty strong. Maybe this Fed is not going to cut it all this year. What do you tell them and as you think about where we're going to go over the next maybe 6 to 9 months?
You know, it's amazing. I had an associate on our team yesterday just price out, you know, a simple graph of where the market was looking at rate hikes / cuts. Ooh, 1 year okay. Forward. And that line kind of makes it look like that no one has any clue what's going to happen in the future. And so, you know, what I say to folks when we talk about, you know, could we end this year with zero rate cuts? You know, our own rate strategist says one rate cut. I will just tell you, like, these unknown unknowns, these tails in the markets are still not being priced to a level that I think they right. actually should be. You know, that's yeah. really the bottom line. These are tails that can happen.
Amy, the collective memory of most of our listeners and viewers is it your world of derivatives is great until suddenly it's not. And there's always a surprise. I'm going to say portfolio assurance in 1987 and, you know, other stuff as well. What's the shadow out there that's building up, whether it's leverage or unleveraged? What's the derivative with a notional that's getting out of control and sometime could impinge on all of us?
So, Tom, it's really interesting that you bring this up. This was actually part of my roadmap in my 2024 outlook for volatility.
Are you going to send me a 40-page deck like Amanda Lynam over BlackRock? Please.
I promise I won't, but I'll give you the bottom line, which is, you know, this rise of zero DT, zero data expiry options has kind of changed how much of a GPS options can be. You know, it used to be we got a pretty good idea of what we thought was going to happen 1 to 3 months out. All this trading has shrunk in tenor so much that the options market isn't as great a GPS anymore, right? You're going to get that signal for a left-hand turn, but it's going to be in 50 feet instead of 1,000 feet. That's the bottom line.
Amy, what's the number one trade you hear your clients talking about these days? Where are they looking to put some positions on?
You know, I would tell you they're upside trades, but they're actually upside trades for worry. So we continue to see a lot of investors focused on energy upside. You know, that's a geopolitical tail hedge. Yeah. And then the same thing with gold, which has been very popular. That's also not only a geopolitical tail hedge, that's an inflation worry concern. So they're expressing it in upside, but the reality is these are downside worry concerns that using these sectors for.
Do the big techs, the ginormous free cash flow building tech companies, did they message in the derivative space? Is there a skew to Apple, you know, or another Greek letter to Microsoft? Are they part of your study?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we can't ignore these. The weights, Tom, are just so heavy. It's like if tech goes, the market goes. It's as simple as that. I'll say you picked Apple. Apple's in a little bit of a unique position because of, you know, concerns around China, different things there. So that skew has been more on the downside. But everything else, even though exuberance has waned, people are still much more focused on that right tail. You know, your NVIDIAs of the world, your Metas, people are still more call demand outweighed put demand.
And is that still true in AI? Because AI was certainly the trade here for 2023, Amy. Is it still kind of the trade here, or are people pulling back, do you think?
You know, they're not pulling back, but they're kind of like moving away from the OGs. So if NVIDIA was your OG, everyone wants to know what the AI adjacent names are. So you get situations like Supermicro, you saw that call skew invert. You know, obviously you see that run in semis, but it continues. So folks keep saying to me, you know, show me the AI related names that aren't your NVIDIAs, but we think we can use options express upside in.
What is your SPX target? How do you fold that into derivative analysis? Where are we 12 months out on SPX?
Tom, I'm so lucky because I don't have to put out an S&P target. That's the job of my dear friend, Lori Calvesina. You know, she has the hardest job in the world. I just get to talk about the derivatives market.
Okay. We'll get Calvesina on. We've got to get an answer.
We know you're reaching.
Amy, thank you so much. Amy was Silverman. I'm busting her chops with RBC Capital Markets. This is a joy. What happens, folks, is if you're managing money and you get past $1 trillion, your mind changes, your brain changes. And only Chris Ailman is grounded. He's with the California State Teachers Retirement System. We're thrilled he could join us in studio. How much do you manage this week?
I mean, Tom, come on, $330 billion.
Okay, $330 billion. And he's grounded. And what I love about him, at the back end of his note, and he's right on tune with the calendar, sell in May and go away. Really? Do you feel that?
The old adage is, and we all three understand the old adage is, no shot there, but still are in play. And I really wonder, Tom, I mean, the market has come up so much this year. It's nuts.
Okay. Jason Furman out with a great, great endowment view. He's got like 20, 30 colleges, and they're all doing single digit return. Even the best ones, I barely doing double digit return. Do you manage for total return for the best outcome you can get? Or do you manage to an actuarial assumption of 7 or 8%?
Actuarial assumption. And so we're different, and that's why our asset allocation is different than the endowments. Number one, I can't go out and hit you up for a big contribution just to help boost my fund.
Lisa can.
And we generally are looking at trying to make that 7 as a pace per mile in a marathon. It is literally a 30-year outlook for us because teachers live so long. So I use fixed income where they don't. I don't. I have only 50% in privates, only 50. Well, they can be up to 80 because they can handle the illiquidity.
So what is the asset allocation of the state of California these days? And maybe how has it changed?
Yeah, well, the state of California, you and I bought a lot of municipal bonds.
Yep.
They're in an interesting position. But in terms of CalSTRS, we're still pretty close to our long-term 70-30, roughly.
Okay.
So, you know, 80-20 kind of asset allocation. Got about 45% in fixed or in equities. We've got 15 in private equity, 15 in real estate. Those haven't moved just because those markets are frozen. We're about 12 in fixed income, but fixed income's hiding in other parts of the portfolio. We have inflation sensitive at 7. And then another asset category that's fairly new called risk mitigating strategies. It's about 8%, almost 10%.
A risk mitigating strategy is when you yell down the hallway, empty the dishwasher in the child. That's a risk mitigating strategy.
Exactly. Chris, what do you make of this market? I think a lot of folks, when they look at the equity markets, I mean, we had this big run off of those lows in October. You know, earnings are good, but are they that good to support this market? How do you feel about just kind of where we are in this market here?
I am surprised. I'm going around New York this week talking to my private equity partners, and they are telling me that business is so strong. Every airport I went through was absolutely packed. Every plane was packed.
Yep.
Every restaurant in New York. I can't believe how busy Manhattan is. It's not true in San Francisco, not true on the West Coast, but streets are busy again. So the economy is
okay,
strong. The earnings are real.
Paul's led on this. Why? Ken Griffin's building a new tower south of the Diamond Tower. We got the Diamond Tower. Yep. We got the Ken Griffin Tower. New York seems to have a pop to it. I get it. And that other geographies, not just San Francisco, but say, you know, smaller cities as well, they're basically flat on their back. Is it work from home? Why?
It is work from home, Tom. And it's changing the nature. You know, when I talk to, not surprising, private equity wants people back 4 days and really, wink, wink, 5 days.
No.
On the West Coast, that's not true
Lisa,
at all.
Wink,
we're two
wink.
Days a week.
And wink, that's wink.
That, yeah, they really push back on even 4 days a week.
Wow.
Look at tech. So I think the thing that shocks me about this market, and you guys talk about it a lot, the market was looking for six cuts just four months ago. Now they're talking about maybe one, and if anything, a rate hike, and it's taken it in stride. So
yep.
I think it's strong earnings, it's the base of the market, and then it's all this change in AI. That AI, whether it's the steam engine, maybe the light bulb, but AI is transformational and they're betting the farm on it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I hear. So, all right, we're kind of getting right into the teeth of the earnings season here. Chris, what are you looking for? What do you think the market needs to see? Do we need to see earnings estimates go higher to support this market? Do we just need to see nobody blowing up? What do you think we need to see?
I think nobody blowing up. And, you know, earnings are a game now. Come on.
Yep.
How come every quarter all the companies beat their earnings estimates? Because it's gamed. And we need to stop looking past earnings. We need to really look at the P/E ratio is still reasonable, not priced to perfection like I thought it was at the start of the year. Earnings has, the E has come back up to match the price. So we're okay. Is the market got more upside? That's why I think, Tom, sell in May and go away. This is an election year.
Are you getting pressure from Karen or William? These are the first names of the board members of CalSTRS. Fiona.
Oh, yep.
Fiona's trouble.
Yep.
She's in a meeting. She's just impossible. Harry is a board chair, K-12 classroom teacher. Are they pounding the table and saying, why don't you own some of these tech darlings of California? Are they just screaming at you, own more of the big boys?
Right now, Tom, they're all pounding the table and waving goodbye because I'm retiring in about 60 days.
I was going to say,
but they're great people.
I was just about to ask him. I thought he was on this. Is this a retirement tour? Is this like the?
He's been on a retirement tour for 3 years.
Tom, now stop.
Bring it up.
Hey, you're one to talk, Tom. Come on.
Thank you.
So, but no, realistically, they're salt of the earth people, and they are not worried. They're worried about the overexposure to tech because tech just isn't in our equity portfolio. It's in our private equity portfolio.
Yeah.
It's even in our real estate portfolio, in our infrastructure portfolio. When you look at the energy demand on tech, so they're not worried. What they're worried about is this year's a good year. Let's try to get to 7. Let's balance the portfolio. Let's have diversification is still the name of the game for us. We've got to be balanced. So it's not just put the metal to the floor. Let's have a steady 7 over time. And they are very focused on that.
The cheap shot idea is everybody's leaving California. Paul's living this in real time. He's got kids prospering out there. And I hear a lot of people with a terrific buzz about Los Angeles. Ed Ludlow's really big on a recovering San Francisco. You know, things are healing. And all that. Push against the gloom on the great state of California. What's California doing in the future to stabilize their many political social issues?
Well, I think that's part of the challenge for the state. I'm not a political guy. I'm a father, and I've got three daughters that are in their early 30s. Buying a home is really, really difficult. So just like anywhere in a nice state with great weather, home affordability is a huge problem. Water, we have plenty of it this year, but water is going to be a long-term problem. And I think just like a lot of places in our country, politics really takes a lot of work. We need people in the middle who will talk. And I'm just looking at that. My association's here with New York and with London. I want to care about the financial markets, Tom, but California still in the West Coast is still going to thrive.
Awesome.
It is the home of innovation, and you're going to see massive changes in what we do and how we operate in the next 5 years.
Paul, get one more in here, but I just want to compare and contrast. At the Rochester Institute of Technology in February, you get up and you have to walk the quarter mile, which is basically like an ice station zebra when you're at the top of the Arctic. He's getting up. It's Santa Barbara going, what'll I do?
Another 75 degree day. I wish. Terrible. No, I'm in Sacramento, but
I mean, one of the greatest things arguably about the state of California is a university system.
Exactly.
I mean, and it's just extraordinary. Up and down the state, just extraordinary. How is the university system these days in California?
No, it's doing excellent. It is amazing. Awesome. And you know, you got to throw in there, you've still got state. Stanford.
Yep.
You've got
my son goes
the Pomonas.
To Santa Clara. Yep.
There you go. Santa Clara. You've got Cal Poly and Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. You've got an amazing system. So I think I can't emphasize enough, because I get it about education. Well, you've got to invest in education and focus on education for the younger workforce, and that's what's needed in America.
Chris, you're retiring in 60 days, right? I mean, 24 years at CalSTRS, before that at Washington State Pension. You've done it all. You've seen it all. Heck of a run there, my friend.
Thank you. It's been a marathon. It has been a roller coaster ride, and I'm not getting off. I'm going to stay in the business, and I'll stay active, but it's time to get out of government and do some other things.
Yep, Chris Allen, thank you so much with CalSTRS here this morning on making that actuarial assumption, which most of us aren't fortunate enough to do. It's a whole thing we can devote to, is to the retirement shortfall, if you will, of America coming off of ERISA of 1974. It's been painful.
Nobody ever says make it complicated. That is why Nationwide makes simplicity a priority by providing financial professionals with straightforward, client-ready resources. From clear strategies to help clients meet retirement savings and income needs, to ways to cover rising healthcare costs and more, Nationwide simplifies planning so more time can be spent helping clients. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Your daily look at the front pages around the world. At least I've been so buried reading Amanda Lynan's 40-page deck. I didn't even look at the newspapers.
Really,
what do you have?
All right. We're starting with buyers being back in control in the housing market, but only for luxury homes. Okay. This is from Realtor.com. In March, a share of homes that were priced over $5 million, they had their price reduced. That was 7.8%, which is up 1% from March of 23, up 3% from March of 2022. The area with the largest share of price reduction was Austin, Texas. And that's really a big change, because that's where a lot of people went to when remote work kicked in. Other markets seeing those big price cuts for the luxury market, Tampa, Florida, also Phoenix. And the Wall Street Journal, they spoke with this family who had this Phoenix home. It was priced for $11 million. Okay, it had 5 bedrooms,
nice.
Upscale Arcadia neighborhood, like pool, game room, bar. Yes, fully stocked. Now cutting the price to $8.7 million. So these luxury homes, they're starting to come down in price.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. And Jay Hatfield, I thought, was great about this.
Yep.
Folks, the thing I'm most unsure about is work from home.
Yeah,
I don't have my bearings on it. Jay Hatfield's telling me you're going to be fired from home. I don't know. Yes. Nick Bloom out at Stanford saying move to Phoenix.
Yeah, I know.
And I Lisa, it's the single thing right now, folks, I feel the most unsure about.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's true.
All right. Good stuff. So we get the luxury home markets pulling back a little bit. Fine.
What about the Upper West Side?
The Upper West Side. I don't know if that's pulling back too much.
I don't think so.
We'll stick with Phoenix.
Next.
All right. Electric vehicles. We talk about it all the time, right? Range anxiety. This is the biggest thing for people who are kind of on the fence about buying EVs. Well, Google has announced its Maps app is going to have something in it that's going to help those people find chargers, whether it's parking lots, garages, real-time information, how many ports are there, how much the charging speed is there. It's going to help you find on the longer trips.
That's
they
helpful.
Actually did it with Waze last month. But it's really supposed to give that boost because a lot of people still...
What do you think, Paul?
I think that's going to be big. I'm not an EV person yet. I mean, maybe at some point I'll get there. But the folks I do talk to, that is an issue. Kind of like, where are the charging stations? I get there, and they say there's going to be 8 or 12 pods, 4 of which are out of service.
Correct,
not working.
You know,
and then so the lines are ridiculous, in which case your entire plans are kind of screwed, and then... It's not like pulling up to the, you know, Exxon station.
No.
And seriously, folks, we've got a guy, surveillance EV guru, Edward Ludlow, who's living this right now.
Yep.
We're trying to get him on the show tomorrow. His people have been very difficult.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get him on the show tomorrow to get Ed Lowe. You know, it's 7:52. Come on. 6:05. It's 4:52 a.m. He's in his beauty rest.
But he's got to drive a Tesla out there. I mean, the price of gas in San Francisco
that's a great point.
Ridiculous.
That's a great point. Taxes. Okay,
we'll have to see. I'm not. All I see is Teslas. I don't see anything else.
No, I see a Rivian. I see the trucks around.
I like electric buses really work. I really get like
and the Amazon delivery things. The electric delivery things are all
over
the place.
They're all
over
too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next,
They're growing. All right. What's also growing? Starbucks unionized workers. Okay. So Bloomberg Law did this analysis. They took National Labor Relations Board election data, and they found out that unions have organized more than 10,000 workers at Starbucks locations nationwide. March was a big month. They saw 21 union wins. That resulted in 376 newly union-represented baristas, shift supervisors. So you see kind of this growth that's
starting. Is it store by store,
it's
I guess?
Percolating.
Yeah, it's percolating. Okay. Very good. I like that.
Most of the audience doesn't know what percolating means.
I have a percolator.
I used to be my grandmother had the coffee pot in an incredibly simple kitchen with the Parliament cigarette out of her mouth.
Yep.
With Kurt Gowdy in Boston Red Sox baseball. And I'd be mesmerized by the one thing moving in the kitchen, the percolator. There we go. It's
percolator. I love my percolator. But yeah, so union's growing. And then finally, I know this is it. Tom, we have to switch up the music selection tomorrow because Taylor Swift's latest album drops on Friday.
I saw that.
It's not released. It drops.
It drops.
It drops.
That's how the kids
say hope she's with Jack Antonoff again in the Nationals. I love what they've been doing. The National, I should say. I love what they're doing. What I find with Taylor, and, you know, I have a huge respect for her, but what I know is on that album, there'll be one song that I will find jaw-dropping.
It's just never one? Just one?
Just one. I find one song always on the album that I just find jaw-dropping.
Well, the one thing that people say they like about, or what the New York Times is saying, is that it's going to be on vinyl, CD, even cassette.
Don't get me going
on
vinyl. Do you know, I just acquired vinyl records for one of the Offspring.
Oh, so it's coming back.
I said, are you kidding me? We got rid of vinyl.
Yes.
And she's like, that's all people want. Want vinyl.
The sound, they want that.
Do you have vinyl at home?
No, my dad has a huge, thousands. When I say thousands of records,
You got to get a table.
Crates and crates.
Yeah, Start with the Doors, L.A. Woman.
Yeah,
that's a good
everything,
one.
Every rock.
Paul, do you do this vinyl thing?
No, but my daughter just recently, for a gift, gave me some old Bruce albums on vinyl.
See?
So, and I had them back in the day.
But do you have
no idea where they are? No.
On YouTube, on live chat. I need you guys on live chat on YouTube right now to live chat in and tell me about vinyl.
Hmm.
Somehow I think this is in my future.
What's the attraction?
The Offspring's going to have a vinyl record, and I'm not going to have a record player to play it on. I'm just going to have a coaster. Lisa Mateo with the newspapers.
Yep.
Thank you.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast, bringing you the best in economics, finance, investment, and international relations. You can also watch the show live on YouTube. Visit the Bloomberg Podcast channel on YouTube to see the show weekday mornings from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern from our global headquarters in New York City. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen. And always on Bloomberg Radio, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.